All right. Good morning. Good to see each one of you here this morning. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 this morning. During the past 22 weeks now, we have been going through this 119th Psalm, and David has taken us on a journey through his own personal relationship with God and on a journey concerning his personal relationship with the Word of God. No other person in the Bible gives to us a more detailed insight into their personal devotional life than does David here in this 119th Psalm. And so because of that, time after time, as we have come through our study of these stanzas that we have seen together, we have noticed how that David has been very careful in stating his love for and stating his evaluation of the Word of God. We have seen how that he has been very careful to state his desire to know God's Word. He has stated his desire to understand God's Word. We have also seen him stating his determination to turn to the Word of God and to lean upon God's Word in every situation that he faced in his life. Now in this final stanza that we're going to be looking at this morning, in the final stanza of this great chapter, David is going to conclude this psalm by presenting a summary of all that has come before. He's going to give us a summation of this great psalm. He's going to put it all together for us, and he's going to restate some of the main themes that we have seen in this psalm over the past weeks. And so let's begin this morning by noticing number one, David's petitions. David's petitions. In the first couple of verses of this final stanza, we find three things that David desired of God. Three things that David desired of God as he states his petitions. First of all, there is the petition that is stated to be heard. His desire is to be heard. Notice in verse 169, we saw it before, but in verse 169, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord." In other words, his desire was that God would hear his cry. Now notice in verse 170, he says, Let my supplication come before thee. In other words, David here had the same desire to be heard that Queen Esther had. You remember the story of Queen Esther in the book of Esther, chapter 5. You remember when she came unbidden into the presence of the king. That was a very dangerous thing. To come into the presence of the king in those days without an invitation from the king could result in a penalty of death. And so when Queen Esther came before the king, she had a fourfold desire. When she came into his presence, she had a desire. First of all, she had a desire to be recognized. She had a desire to be recognized. In other words, she wanted to be recognized as the king's favored wife. She wanted to be recognized in the relationship that she enjoyed with the king as his favorite wife. She also had the desire to be accepted. The desire to be accepted. In other words, not only did she want to be recognized, but when she entered into the presence of the king, her desire was that he would hold out to her the golden scepter, showing that he not only recognized her, but he accepted her into his presence. He also had the desire, she had the desire, number three, to be heard. She had the desire to be heard. In other words, not only did she simply want to come into the presence of the king, but when she came into the presence of the king, her desire was that she might be able to present her desire to him and that he might hear what she had to say. She wanted his attention, in other words. She wanted his attention. And then number four, she desired to be blessed. She desired to be blessed. In other words, not only did she want her petition to be heard, her desire was that that petition might be granted. That it might be given to her that which she desired. And that's the same sort of thing. That's the same sort of thing that David desired when he said, "Let my supplication come before thee." Let my supplication come before thee. In other words, David's desire was that he not only would be received into the presence of the Lord God through his prayers, but that he might be heard in heaven and that the answers to his prayer might be granted on the earth. His desire was to be heard. There's a second thing that we find here. Not only was David's petition a petition that he might be heard, but let her be. He also had a petition to be instructed. To be instructed. Notice in verse 169, "Give me," he said, "give me understanding according to thy word." Give me understanding according to thy word. Now I want you to realize this morning that there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between knowledge and understanding. There's a huge difference between knowledge and understanding. You see, any man can read the Bible. Any man can read the Bible and gain a certain amount of spiritual knowledge. Any man can do that. Any man can do that. And that's because of the fact that knowledge is merely coming to know certain facts as they are related in the Scriptures. Anybody can read the Bible and glean a certain amount of spiritual knowledge. But knowledge, again, is not understanding. Understanding is when knowledge goes to the next step. Understanding is when knowledge, that which has been learned, goes to the next step and it begins to have an impact on how we think and how we act. See? A lot of people have knowledge, but it never changes their life. That's because that's all they have is knowledge. But when a person begins to have knowledge and that knowledge leads to understanding, the result of it is it's going to have an impact. It's going to make a change in the way they see things. It's going to make a change in the way they do things. It's going to make a change in the priorities that they have in their life. That's why Job made this very great statement in Job chapter 28, verse 28. Here's what he said. He said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." That's wisdom. To depart from evil, that is understanding. You see, when a person has a knowledge of biblical truth, and that biblical truth begins to work in his heart, he then begins to have understanding, and the result of the understanding is he's going to turn from the path of wickedness. He's going to begin to walk in the path of righteousness. Big difference between knowledge and between understanding. And because David desired more than a simple knowledge of spiritual things, He wanted more than just a basic kindergarten education in religion. He wanted more than that. He desired that his life might be changed into a life of holiness. He desired that his life might be changed into a life of godliness. And so therefore, David prayed. His desire was not just for knowledge about God's Word. He wanted understanding. He wanted understanding that was according to God's Word. But that's not all. Notice this. Because David desired to be heard, and because David had a desire that he might be instructed in the ways of understanding, I want you to notice that he also prayed, letter C, he prayed to be delivered. He prayed that he might be delivered. In verse number 170, he says, deliver me according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. Many times we have seen how that David faced many persecutions in his life. David faced times of affliction. He faced times of great trial and great trouble. David went through some very difficult times in his life, and many times we have heard him, not only in this particular psalm, but in the other psalms that we have studied in months past. We have heard David as he would cry out for deliverance. Cry out for deliverance. His prayer was not merely a prayer for deliverance from his problems. Rather, his prayer was a prayer for deliverance that would actually cause him to enjoy God's blessings, to enjoy God's power, to enjoy God's peace in the midst of his troubles. That's what he was looking for. That's what he was looking for. You see, David's desire was that instead of being mastered and instead of being controlled by the enemies and by the circumstances of life, his simple desire was that he might continually be controlled and directed by the precious Word of God. That's what he desired. That's what he desired. And so he wanted to be delivered. Not just delivered, but delivered according to God's Word. So we see the petitions of David. But as we've seen before, these petitions were not mere religious platitudes that David spouted while trying to impress God. These petitions were the sincere desire of his heart. They were the sincere desire of his heart. And so for that reason, David backed up his request. He backed up his request with some promises. And so notice number two, David's promises. David's promises. In our text, we find two promises that David made to God. First of all, there is the promise that he made, the promise of praise. The promise of praise. In verse number 171, he said, "My lips shall utter praise." When thou hast, notice this, when thou hast delivered me from all of my troubles and made my life to be wonderfully happy, so that never again will I cry tears of disappointment or sorrow. Oh, that's not what it says? I must have the wrong version here. No, that's not what it says, is it? No, David said, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." You see the emphasis? David said, I'll praise you, Lord. Not when all my life is easy, not when everything is pleasant, not when there's no bumps or difficulties in life. No, Lord, I'm going to praise you when you teach me your word. I'm going to praise you when you teach me your statutes. I want you to notice the order here. When David had learned God's Word, notice this. When David learned God's Word, the result would be praise to God. Praise to God. Charles Spurgeon said it very well when he said this. He said, "The best possible praise is that which proceeds from men who honor God not only with their lips, but in their lives. We learn the music of heaven in the school of holy living." Good statement. Good statement. We cannot overemphasize the order that David gives us in this passage. We cannot overemphasize the order that is here. Notice it. Obedience and then praise. Obedience and then praise. The fact is, we can never really praise God as we should until we are walking in obedience to His Word. That's why so much of the quote-unquote praise that is going on in many circles today, it never does get past the ceiling as far as God is concerned. Because it is a praise, it is an exercise of religious fervor that is based on emotions, it is based on circumstances, it is not based on the Word of God. True praise will always be based on obedience to God's Word. Based on obedience to God's Word. That's why much of the praise that goes on is nothing more than a carnal emotional noise which pleases and excites the senses of carnal, unsaved men, and it makes God nauseous. Revelation 3, God speaks of those who are lukewarm. And God says, I'd like to just spew you out. Nauseous. Nauseous. True praise comes from obedience to the Word of God. But then I want you to notice something else. True praise will always be followed by a second point, and that is this. True praise will always be followed by, letter B, the promise of ministry. The promise of ministry. Notice in verse number 172, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. My tongue shall speak of thy word. May I say to you this morning that if our praise to God, if our praise does not result in the faithful ministry of God's word, then it's a sham and it's a shame. If our praise does not result in ministry to others, then our praise is a sham, it's a shame. True praise always results in a faithful declaration of the Word of God. It always results in a faithful declaration of the Word of God. And notice in verse 172, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. And then he says, all thy commandments are righteousness. You remember that's the same thing we saw before. You remember back in verse 128, David said this great statement. He said, I esteem, that is, I judge, I value, I hold, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. To be right. Whether I understand it or not, that doesn't matter. Whether it makes logical sense to me or not, it doesn't matter. What is important is my estimation of the fact that God's Word, whatever it says, on whatever subject it speaks of, God's Word is always right. God's Word is always right. That was David's understanding. That was David's understanding. And so therefore he declares the promise that his tongue is going to speak God's Word. Because as long as he's speaking God's Word, he may not always be popular. And he may not always be well loved. And he may not be invited to speak at the ministerial association. But one thing about it If he's faithfully speaking God's word, he will always be right. Right? Yeah. Yeah. He'll always be right. Because God's word is righteous in all things. David. As David learned God's word, he determined that he would obey that which he had learned. And as he obeyed God's word, the natural result of that would be a life that was involved in praise. It was involved in giving honor, giving glory, and in magnifying the name of the Lord God. But not only that, as he learned God's word, as he obeyed God's word, he understood that the result would be a life that was effectively ministering God's truth to others. But why would God be inclined to help David? Why would God be inclined to help David in a life of ministry? Notice letter number three, David's practice. David's practice. Two things that David did, which caused God to bless David and to use David. Two things that David did. I'm going to need your help, Brother Moore. My watch stopped. According to my watch, it is 8:27. So just kind of wave at me when we get close to about 9:25, okay? So I'll... all right. Anyway. No, we'll just follow this. I have plenty of time. All right. So, number three, David's practice. Two things that David did which caused God to bless him and to use him. Two things that David did. First of all, there is his dependence on God. His dependence on God. David had courageously determined that his life was going to be a life that was fully dedicated to obedience. It was a life that would be fully dedicated to praise and fully dedicated to ministry. We've already seen that. But David understood that he could never realize such holy goals. He could never reach such high expectations in his own strength and in his own power. And so therefore David said in verse 173, he said, "Let thine hand help me." Let thine hand help me. In other words, David understood exactly what the prophet said when he said, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by thy spirit." If anything is going to be done for God, it has to be done in God's power. Not in our own abilities, not in our own education. I'm not against education. I'm not against personal abilities. But that should never be what we depend upon when it comes to doing God's work. What we need to depend on is the power of God. That's where our true secret for success lies when it comes to ministry. And when it comes to dealing with people, there must be the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you will be witnesses." Not before, but after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they would be the witnesses that they ought to be. "Let thine hand help me," David said. And notice the basis for such a request. It's clearly stated in the last part of the verse. "Let thy hand help me for," or we could say, "because of the fact that I have chosen thy precepts." I've chosen thy precepts. You see, here's the point. David could confidently ask for God's help in his life because of the fact that David had already determined that he was going to do things God's way. He could ask for God's help with confidence because he'd already determined he was going to do things God's way. Do it God's way. You know, so many times we are guilty. We're guilty of sitting down and writing out our plan. I'm always amazed at people who say, they'll say, "Oh, Pastor Crocker, what is your 10-year plan?" 10-year plan? I don't even have a plan for tomorrow. What do you mean, 10-year plan? But anyway, they tell you, "You know what? What is all your plan?" You know, and so people sit down and they'll write out a plan for their life, and boy, they've got it all booked out. You know, I'm by the age of 20, I'm going to do this, and by the age of 25, I'm going to have accomplished this. By the age of 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. Sounds good, doesn't it? And by the age of 35, I'm going to do this and then and this. And boy, they've got it all mapped out. They've got it all booked. Their road map to success. And so they sit down and they make out all their plans. They list all of their ambitions. And when they are finished with their plans, then they come to God and they say, "Okay, God, here's my plan. Now you bless it. Here's my plan. Now you make it work." That's how we do many times, isn't it? Many times we say, "Dear God, bless me today." But we never ask God to show us how He would like us to live for that day. We never ask God to show us what He wants us to do that day. We just want Him to bless our day in our plans and in our ambitions and in our goals. But we never ask Him about His plan, His ambition, or His goal for our life. Big difference there, isn't there? But David shows us the right way. David had confidence that God would help him to fulfill his goals in life. David had confidence that God would help him to fulfill his goals in life, and here's the reason why. It was simply because of the fact David had chosen to make the goals of his life God's goals for his life. He chose to make God's goals, God's priorities, to be his goals and his priorities. And therefore, with confidence, He could ask God to help him. He could ask God to help him. But how did he know those goals? How did he know what God's goals were? Right here. In God's Word. That's how he knew. That's how he knew what God wanted him to do. That's how he knew what God's priorities for his life were. That's how David was able to prioritize what was really important in life and what was not so important in life. It's because he had an understanding of God's Word. Had an understanding of God's Word. And so because of his understanding, his practice was that he could depend upon God. His dependence on God. But then notice the second thing, and that is this. His desire for God. His desire for God. Two things that David desired from God. There are two things that David desired from God. First of all, he desired God's salvation. He desired God's salvation. In verse 174, notice what he said. He said, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord." Now let me just remind you here that when David wrote this, David was already a saved man. He's already a saved man as he is writing here. But David understood that even though he had already been saved from the penalty of his sin, He had already brought the offerings required of the law, and his sins had already been forgiven him. He understood that he was saved as far as the penalty of his sin was concerned. But David realized that is not all there is to salvation. Just like in our salvation, the very moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the very moment we bow our hearts and our heads and we acknowledge, God, I've sinned against you, I've transgressed your law, I've broken your law, and there's nothing good in me that deserves anything from you. But I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and I accept him now as my personal Lord and as my Savior. You see, at that very moment when we are born again by faith into the family of God, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. But that's not the end of our salvation. The Bible teaches that every day we ought to desire to be saved. That doesn't mean we have to get saved over and over and over and over. No, it just simply means we desire now. We've already been saved from the penalty of sin. That's in the past. That's done, settled forever. But every day we ought to have a desire that we might be saved from the power of sin, so that sin does not control our life. We ought to desire that we might be saved from the power of sin, as every day we yield ourselves not to walk according to our own wisdom, but to walk in obedience to His Word as we are led by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said in the book of Galatians that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how we have victory over sin. That's how we're saved from the power of sin. It's by yielding to God and to His Word. And then there's coming that wonderful day. There's coming that wonderful day when we shall once again be saved, and we shall be saved from the very presence of sin. When Jesus Christ comes and takes us home to be with Him, and then our salvation will finally find its completion in Christ. Saved from the penalty, that's in the past. Saved from the power of sin, that's for every day. Saved from the presence of sin, that's when He takes us home to be with Him. And that's what David desired. That's what David desired. That's why you remember back in Psalm 17, we saw it a couple of years ago. In Psalm 17, in verse number 15, that's what he said. He said, "As for me," David said, "as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You see, David was looking forward to that resurrection from the dead, when all of those Old Testament saints, New Testament saints are raised up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what David was looking forward to. That's what David was living in expectation of. And so David's greatest desire was that he might be with his God. That he might be with his God. But until that blessed day came, David would continually desire God's Word. Notice the last part of verse 174. He said, And thy law is my delight. Thy law is my delight. Now we're going to bring this to a close. Don't get excited. The conclusion is the longest part of this message. We're going to bring this to a close, and as we bring it to a close, I want us to notice 6 points in the final 2 verses that will help us to tie all of this together. 6 points that brings all of it, makes it all fit together. David's desire, number one. David's desire. Notice verse 175. Let my soul live. In other words, he's talking about during this earthly pilgrimage. During this earthly pilgrimage, give me a spiritual life that is filled with godly purpose, with godly power, with godly contentment, with godly joy. Let my soul live, David said. That's his desire. Notice number two, his promise. David's promise. Let my soul live, here's the promise, and it shall praise thee. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Number three, David's understanding. Verse number 175, let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Before, verse 173, David asked for God's hand to help him. Did you notice that? Now he's asking for God's Word to help him. Asking for God's Word to help him. By the way, there is no contradiction here. Rather, the simple truth we need to understand that God's hand only moves in accordance with God's Word. You can pray until you turn blue in the face, but God is never going to answer a prayer for you, for me, or for anybody else. He's never going to answer a prayer that is contrary to the principles and the precepts of His Word. They go together. They go together. God is never going to give His fullest and His richest blessings to a life that is walking in disobedience to His Word. To receive God's blessings, our life must always line up with the Word of God. That's where the place of blessing is. That's where the place of blessing is. And so we see David's understanding. Notice number four, David's confession. David's confession. It's a confession I think all of us can make. Verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Anybody here besides me can identify with that? Aren't we just like that fellow that Robert Robinson wrote about? Robert Robinson, when he wrote the song, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Yeah, that's us. That's us. We live, even though our spirit has been born again and we long for that day when we still live in a wicked body of flesh, don't we? We still live in a wicked body of flesh. It is so susceptible and is so prone to the temptations of the world and so many times, just like David, we find ourselves going astray. Like a sheep going astray. David's confession. Number five, David's request. David's request. Notice this. David said, "Lord, I've gone astray. I'm like a lost sheep here. I've gone astray." But now notice verse 176. He says, "Seek thy servant. Seek thy servant." And then we see David's declaration. "For I do not forget thy commandments." That word "forget" there, it's more than just a mental lapse that comes with old age. I'm learning more and more about that. But it's more than that. The word "forget" here, it means to totally forsake and to turn away from God's Word. David said, I'm like a lost sheep and I'm prone to wander off, but God, I want you to seek me because even though I wander away, it's not because I am forsaking your Word. Bottom line, in our relationship with God and in our relationship with His Word, listen very carefully. Bottom line, in our relationship with God and in our relationship with His Word, it is not how much of the Bible you know that is important. That's not the issue. How much of the Bible you've learned, how much Bible trivia you've stored up in your head, how many passages you have committed to memory, that's not the important thing. That's not the important thing. It is our submission and our obedience to the Word of God that is important. I've talked to people. Who were living in obvious rebellion against God, and yet they could quote more scripture than I could. It's not what you know. It's how you obey. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. And how we submit to the authority of God's Word, it's going to determine whether we're saved or whether we're lost. Whether we're headed for heaven or whether we're headed for hell. And how we respond to God's Word and how we submit to the authority of God's Word is going to determine for us as Christians whether we are spiritually victorious or whether we are spiritually defeated in our life. All comes down to our relationship with the Word of God. All comes down to our relationship with the Word of God. That's why the Lord God desired for His people. He desired for His people in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He desired for them to know something. Here's what He wanted them to know. He wanted them to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we find a life that is truly worth the living. That's how we find a life that is filled with a true purpose that will not only be a blessing to men, but a life that will glorify God. It's when we are living according to the Word of God, following His precepts and His teachings. And so may God help us this morning to love His Word. May God help us to honor His Word. May God help us to obey His Word so that we might truly have the life that when we stand before Him in that day of judgment will cause Him to say, "Well done, good, faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." How's your relationship with God's Word today? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning.